There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. All right, and I'm going to have you, if you want to grab that microphone and pull it closer to you there, that one right there, yeah, that'll work. As we get started with the show and the bumpy weather, he made his way through it, made his way into the studio. I'm not surprised. Until he corrects me here, I'm going to say Chief Paul Prine joins us in studio. Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you, man.
Yeah, it's not ideal weather out there, but I'm glad to see you in here.
Well, we had to slow down a little bit and obey the traffic laws when we got here.
Good. I can show you on the, if we get a chance during the commercial break, I'll show you the algo cam, what the people are doing on the causeway.
Right.
This is, I mean, who needs network TV? I would watch, watch this. Occasionally, one of these old boys here is going to try to get up on the ramp, and they're all waiting for the first one to suck water into the block and crack the engine or something.
That's right. Yeah.
So this is entertainment for sure. Good to have you in here. Obviously, so much to talk about. I thought about this. The last time you were here on the show, which wasn't long ago, we're talking about the successes of the Mobile Police Department, the reduction in crime in all these different categories, year to year, 10-year span, 20-year span. And so that's what I had in my brain the last thing. And then last night to hear you're on administrative leave and then to hear you say you're retiring, I can say I was shocked is not an understatement.
Pardon me. And listen, thank you for having me on the show. The bottom line is, when you're doing good and there's power struggles within an administration, you don't think really those things exist, and they can be very trivial, sometimes childlike, but they do exist. Unfortunately, we're here. This is where we're at. And, you have to find a way when you're winning and you're doing all the right things, you have to kind of paint a picture of someone to be able to have a reason to walk them out the door.
Okay. So with this, and I've listened to some of the interviews you gave last night, you said two top-level city officials are behind this? Is that, I'm not putting words
right. So let me simply say this. Really, this all started, some months back when I filed two separate grievances on two separate individuals in the administration. And I'm not going to name the individuals.
This is like an HR thing within the city. You say a grievance,
Right. Okay. You file a grievance, for various reasons, and you bring it to the administration's attention.
Okay.
And so... it started back in November, and there were some things along the way. We really don't have time to get in on the show, but there were some things along the way that kind of reared itself that says, hey, we want this guy out. This guy is not really working well. He's not really on the team, so to speak. And it started even before
people
I filed.
People were saying that to you, Chief, specifically?
Well, people are asking me. Well, there are folks that's asked me to do things that I felt like were unethical.
Okay.
And there were a lot of veiled threats, in my opinion, about my job, my career, along the way over the last 2.5 years. And really, it boils down to control. But when we start doing unethical issues, things of impropriety, and then you try to get the chief involved in it, that's problematic for me. I built an entire life on my integrity and
my
character.
You're three decades in law enforcement? Close
yes,
to.
That's right. And so I've had a very good career, but the point is I'm not going to be manipulated, I'm not going to be controlled, and I'm certainly I'm not going to do things that are unethical. The chief has every right to question ethical or unethical behavior,
sure,
morally, ethically. And the chief also has every right when he sees what appears to be financial impropriety to to question those things. And when the administration, either on the grievance or the issues of financial impropriety, when they, those things fall on deaf ears, it makes it problematic to continue in that environment. And so, you know,
because you address this as a grievance, and then nothing is done.
Right. Nothing is done. Nothing's looked out. And then, you know, you've heard a lot about the Kenyon Brown report. Mm-hmm. Well, this was kind of the impetus to where we're at, and that, you know, the idea from the onset from various people is, Chief, this is going to be a negative report that paints you in a bad way, you know, your leadership or the department's leadership, in a way to walk you out the door, because there's been some things along the way that was a catalyst to where we got. And so, you know, what it boiled down to is the administration offered me a severance, and it was a very lucrative severance.
When was this?
So this would have been, I'll just say, a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And so they offered me a severance, and, you know, we were in some agreement, because I've always been of the nature, it's an at-will job, and if the administration or the mayor doesn't want me there, there's no reason to stay there. And simply put, if the administration had simply said, Chief, great job, but we're just going a different direction, here's your severance, or without the severance, I'd been like, okay, great, because there's two ways for the chief to be out of office. The mayor asks for a resignation, the chief goes. If the chief doesn't go, then the council takes up a vote as to whether or not to fire the chief, and they have to have a supermajority to do so. But I think the miscalculation was, is people know that I value my reputation, both personally and publicly, and it would have been better just to part ways with me. But when you offer me a severance, mm-hmm. and then another option is a complete threat to ruin my reputation, the miscalculation was that I value my reputation, and I'm not going to sell out to the system on threats. My hands are clean. I'm not saying anybody's hands are dirty, but I've done everything in an ethical way. I also want your listeners to understand, I'm not here to justify me. I'm 53 years old today.
Yeah, well, congratulations, yeah. Happy birthday.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I was waiting on it.
Happy birthday.
But the truth is I've built a lifetime on my character. My character doesn't need to be justified.
All right, we're coming right back. Obviously, the weather warning is going on today. Remember, we have, I think most importantly, the National Weather Service says that tornado warning in effect till 12:30, so another 12 minutes of that. Right back with, I'm going to keep calling him until corrected, Chief Ryan, right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1222 FM Talk 106.5, and continue our conversation with Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. Administrative leave, heard that last night. You have said to me you're retiring. We went to the when the National Weather Service took over there for the warning there about the flash flooding. You were talking about your reputation and that. The severance deal offered, lucrative, I think, to quote you, a severance deal offered, but your reputation, I guess, was worth more than whatever those dollars were.
Right. So at the end of the day, you know, if the administration doesn't want you, there's no reason to be here. It doesn't matter why. And, you know, the severance would have been fine. But when you couple that with threats and you put it in writing, that's problematic. And I'm just not the guy that's pushed back into a corner on threats. And because of those threats, you know, we were not able to come to terms because along the way, the threats continue to come. You got to do this or this. You got to do this or the media is going to get it.
I was wondering, the threats are,
well,
they need you to do some action that you didn't feel was ethical?
The administration just wanted to part ways, and the appropriate thing to do is to offer a severance, and they were going to do that. The issue is I didn't want the severance in the way they had it structured because I have no faith in the administration that they were going to act in good faith to follow through on that particular severance.
And did that severance come with making you a scapegoat?
mean, well, it could have been, and that's why I didn't trust it, mainly because, you know, the threats of disparaging me were going to the media, you know, the council. I'm not even convinced the council was even aware this was going on, but the counselors are going to vote against you, you know, pretty much insinuating they've already talked with the counselors. I'm just not one to be backed into a corner, especially if I'm right. And I don't mind parting ways with the administration, but
not this way.
But not this way. Okay. You know, the police department's done a fantastic job in the last 2.5 years where I will be leaving on top. I hadn't given the date that I'm retiring. Even today, at the end of March, we were 35% down in all crime compared to this time last year. So we're still trending down. It's unfortunate, but I'm not here to justify my character. My life justifies who I am. Simply here, the same reason I gave the interviews with broadcast media last night, is to say, hey, why are we here? Because people are asking the same questions you are. We're on top. The crime's trending down. Attrition's down some 48% in that 2-year period. Why is the chief leaving? And to paint a picture or try to disparage me when I've done nothing but all the right things and the ethical things just won't be tolerated.
Okay. So, I mean, to put it in the private sector, here's a company. You have a new, you know, you 2 years ago, you put in a new CEO. The company is making profits, doing great. The environment's great. And then you decide you're not going to keep that seat. That's a strange. It's just strange. It stands out.
Well, I would think so, and I'm certainly not going to be braggadocious.
Because, I mean, the numbers y'all have done. Right, great. It's you and your officers.
Well, I appreciate that, but it really is the team buying into the mission and the men and women and the front lines doing the work, and they really get all the credit for it. But I don't disagree with you in that leadership matters. I think can I say this? This is unfortunate for the administration. This is unfortunate for me. I really was left with no options but either hang my head down and let the administration paint whatever picture they want to paint of me, or be a man of integrity and character and take the hits. And I have no problem taking the hits, because those that know me, they'll double down on who I am and my character. And certainly those that don't like the chief, you know, this will just add, you know, food to that fire, so to speak, for them. The reality of it is, it was unfortunate, and it's a failure in leadership. At the very top of this organization, not to deal with this in a way that shows that everybody has integrity and character. And this is malicious in my attempt, and it's using the media to paint that narrative. And, you know, whether anybody believes me or not matters not. But when you try to address these issues, the chief has every right to address impropriety or what looks like impropriety. The chief has every right to file a grievance on those that are doing things that he views or deems as unethical. And I'm not ready to release that. A lot of what I'm not saying is really dependent on what the administration comes out and says. So we can part ways and do it in a way that's respectful to both sides. Or we can continue this mudslinging, and there's probably enough mud to go around for everybody. Some of it will be lies, but I can assure you that everything that I have to say is legitimate, is bona fide, or I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you today, with the risk that somebody may try to take legal action against me.
Well, if those grievances would have been addressed, those filings, the grievances would have been addressed, would we be here today?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's why I tell you
Is that cut and dry?
That's cut and dry, because this is a failure in leadership. And whether it's the police department, whether it's the administration at 205 Government Street, whether it's the finance department, it's the leadership that dictates the tone of where you go. If the head is corrupt, in my opinion, the tail's corrupt. If the head is bona fide and legit and ethical, the body follows with it. And so I have tried to run this police department in a way that's fair and transparent, not only for the men and women of the department, that gives them fairness and equity and the ability to be promoted up through the rank and file so long as they are the best of the best, but it also tried to be transparent with the community. And if I go out and tell the community we're not going to tolerate criminal activity with the thugs, well, in my opinion, we shouldn't allow it if we see the impropriety or even the appearance of impropriety within the rank and file or the administration.
Let me be clear. Reproach, yeah.
Yeah, let me me be clear. I'm not saying there's anything improper, but a lot of this has come with vindictive action. I guess you could say I'm a whistleblower.
Yeah, and, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, that's,
right. And so if the chief of police is the CEO of the police department and he sees, you know, things with an organization or financials that don't look good, he has every lawful and ethical right and should ask what's going on with this, not being victimized, not being targeted on an investigation only so we can paint a bad narrative of this guy because we need justification because the community's not going to understand why we want to part ways with the chief that's getting the job done.
Well, the flip side, I would say, just looking at it as a citizen, if these things you're talking about, which I don't know the details of, but we'd come out and you didn't address it.
Right. So how does that make me look? I cower down. I go into a shell. I go hide in my hole. This has been going on for a while. I'm really surprised it took this long, at least for the last 6 months. But we're here and we're going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with it head on until we're not able to deal with it anymore.
All right. Coming back, more Chief Brian right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along and good to have Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine in studio. Some questions on the text line, too. And I just grab a couple of these and I've got a lot of my own to get to. Buddy asking, will names be named at some point and sometime in the future?
Well, that is solely contingent upon the administration's response going forward. You know, there's a way to handle this, and I'm all for handling this in a professional way. It should have never got to this point. But when you threaten to go to the media on me with threats, I'm not one to be backed in a corner, and so that's why we're here. But it's really just all contingent upon how the administration handles it going forward.
Hey, I want to ask about this because we've talked about the Kenyon Brown investigation, and this stemmed off, I thought this stemmed off the shooting of the 16-year-old, right? That's what I understood.
So, really, Kenyon Brown was partnered with the city for the four officer-involved incidences we had in 2023, and those incidences are unfortunate. But the idea that Kenyon would come in to do a third-party objective review of our policies, practices, and procedures, and that did we do the right things by policy and practice as it related to those incidences. And I believe that's what it was designed to do. However, I also believe...
So he was hired, third party, so he's not with the city. He was hired by the city?
So he was contracted with the city to come and do this thing.
Okay, but the city
right. I know that he went on TV and made an argument that, you know, he was objective, he didn't work for the city, but that's not necessarily true.
Who paid?
Well, the city pays him. Okay. It comes out of the general fund with contracts. And But that's not really an accurate statement, because if we contract with you, you thus are working for the city.
Right. So if you're – and who – the city pays the contract.
The city pays the contract and says this is what we want to do. But somewhere along the line, as a part of doing that process, we also want you to investigate the chief about something the chief may or may not have said two and a half years ago.
So this is separate from the...
So this really has nothing to do with this. Now, the argument's going to be made...
Imagine my confusion.
Right. Well, the argument's going to be made, and the seed was planted, that, oh, this came up in the investigation. I would argue that's not true. It was fabricated. It was an intentional design to paint me in a bad picture so we can say, hey, not only did we have these unfortunate incidences, but somehow or another, either the chief or his leadership or the department's leadership is some... how responsible or can do better. I think that it's really a farce, but I think the City Hall really needs to be careful with that narrative, because anything they see that remotely attributes negligence on my leadership or the department's leadership really opens themselves up to a lot of civil liability in these cases that some of them have already filed lawsuits on. Mm-hmm. It really was a farce to get me out, and really what this boils down to is ego and pride, and we're going to walk this guy out, bar none.
So this, you're saying, Chief, that this report, this investigation from Kenyon Brown, that that is paid for with city tax dollars, right? Yes. I don't who contracts it? Who says, hey, we need this done?
Yeah, ultimately it was the mayor, but it was also a collaboration idea from several of the top executives in the mayor's office. And the idea was is that we would hire Kenyon Brown. Kenyon Brown has credentials, and as far as I'm concerned, Kenyon's always had a stellar reputation. Mm-hmm. He used to be the U.S. attorney here in the Southern mm-hmm. District of Alabama. I've known Kenyon over the years, but Kenyon is black. He has standing in the black community, and somehow or another, the administration thought that the community was just somehow out of control, or at least the black community, and that this guy would come in and do a third-party objective review of the Mobile Police Department policies and practices. And really what it's designed to do is to spin the narrative to the public of the narrative they want the public to have, they being the administration, not the police department, because the police department didn't contract with Mr. Brown.
So the city, the executive branch, contracts with Mr. Brown. Do you know how much the contract was?
Well, I have not seen that contract. I do know that Mr. Brown is making a large sums of money per hour. But maybe our investigative journalist needs to press the administration on what the overall contract is open to for services. So as a part of interviewing with Mr. Brown, I disclosed some things to Mr. Brown about the unethical issues and some of the grievances, and that I felt like his investigation was targeted to me and that I should be offered whistleblower status. Mm-hmm. And so, as you can imagine, from the onset of my interview with Mr. Brown, it just kind of, it was the impetus, and it just really moved this train forward in a very fast way. And that's how we got here yesterday. There's been no adversarial meetings with me, the mayor, or the administration. There's been no arguments. There's been absolutely nothing to suggest that this was caused for in any regard other than ego and pride, filing grievances, and retaliatory
action. You said there were veiled threats here.
Well, right? They are, and they were, and they can be construed as that. But when you offer me a severance, the severance should be like, Chief, I mean, let's face it, Alabama's an at-will state. The truth mm-hmm. is they didn't have to even offer me a severance, mm-hmm. and nor did they offer me an explanation. But then you give me something in writing that says, here's option one, you'll take it. Here's option two, we're going to disparage you in the media, and we're going to...
They told you specifically, if you don't take this, we're going to disparage you.
Well, they told me specifically, if you don't take this, that the information will be released to the media. How else do you take that as a threat? As a part of option one, when they gave me the severance, it led off with, I can retire and keep my reputation intact. If that's not a threat, what is a threat? And I'm not going to be threatened down. So, I'm not going to be threatened by criminals, and I'm certainly not going to be threatened by bureaucrats.
So you're saying that in their words, they have this piece of information, and if you'll sign this deal, they won't release that to the public.
Right.
They will have something that
so
they won't
whatever
release,
the
but if you don't take the deal, that's it lined out like that. Isn't that how blackmail works?
Well, I would think extortion, quid pro quo. I would think so. Unfortunately, they played.
I got this thing I can say on you, but if you pay me money, I won't say it.
Right. And some people may even call it hush money. And I was willing to agree in that if the administration doesn't want my services, I would go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. This doesn't help anybody. This doesn't help me. Going forward in the community, it doesn't matter how many people are on my team, how many people are supporting me. These things don't help me. It doesn't help the mayor. It doesn't help the administration. All it does is gives people a reason to say there's corruption or the appearance of impropriety. And that's unfortunate. And that's why, in my opinion, so many people have such distrust of government. And every time I get up to try to be transparent, I'm automatically lying because I'm affiliated with government. Don't get it twisted, Sean. Chief Prine ain't going to save the world. He's not going to save Mobile. What Chief Prine is trying to explain to the people is how we got here. And how we got here is because there are those that empower the lust for power, the lust for control, to be able to control all aspects of government and paint that narrative, that the narrative they want painted, irrespective to what the truth or transparency really is.
Chief, when you say corruption, a lot of us will think corruption is money exchange or things of value exchange. And I don't know if you can address that, but what I'm hearing is that the payoff there in corruption is power? Is that
well? Like, it could be power. It could be money. I don't know. You know, when I say corruption or the appearance of impropriety, what I'm simply saying is I have no proof other than the way I was treated with this severance. I really have no proof that there is bona fide criminal activity. I don't.
Okay.
But as the chief, as any leader in an organization, if you see something that does not look right, you have an obligation to look into it. And it just seems like that every time something came up, whether it was about personnel in certain divisions, whether it was about money, invoices, it just seems like it really started creating a problem for me. We get to the point where I have to file the first grievance. We get to that point only because, you know, the issues continue to the point where now you're asking or at least implying that the chief is involved in some of this unethical behavior. And I'm not involved in anything unethical behavior. Let me just make sure that the listeners understand. As the chief of police, my first obligation is my faith, and that's to my Lord, my God. My second's to my family, and my third is to the people that I took an oath and swore to protect. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot of things, unethical or corrupt or criminal. I'm not. And this is, it just goes to show when I say a lust for power, who doesn't want someone in charge to be on the up and up? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to say, hey, there's impropriety over here? Maybe the chief just didn't understand.
That's what I was wondering. Like, you file a grievance, and I'm trying to run this through my head, that if they would have come back, let's say, and gone, hey, we investigated the chief, we looked at it, and it's okay because of A, B, and C, as you can see here, and here's really what happened. I mean,
so, Sean, to your point, the whole point of a grievance, whether it's on a director, a chief of police, or an officer, the whole point of the grievance is that an objective investigation is done, so you can go back to that person and say, listen, you got it wrong, here's why, or your claims were valid, and here's what we've done to remedy the problem.
That would be the normal process.
That's the whole point of a grievance, and many people are reluctant or fearful to file grievances because of certainly the position that I'm here now, and some people.
Yeah, because I'm going to ask you here a little bit, but I'll ask you now about morale at the department, because if this is happening to the chief, well, if I'm you know, an officer.
Well, let me just tell you this, and I can't speak for the officers. I can tell you we got a great family environment there, and it's taken 2.5 years to build it. They are looking at the administration, not just the chief's office, but also the mayor's office, to see how this is being handled. And if they can handle the chief of police, who's done nothing but try to do the right thing, what future is there for the men and women of this department? And let me tell you, I've had so many officers reach out to me, and I just keep telling them, keep your heads up and keep doing what you're doing, because you're not doing it for the administration. You took an oath to do it for the people. And that's what they'll continue to do.
I want that morale up. Obviously, I'm a citizen. I'm interested. But at the same time, you've got to know that they've got your back.
Well, I think they do, but it's like anything. When you start dealing with the highest players of any organization, there's a lot of fear that sets in with people. People just want to do a job. People just want to take care of their families and do whatever they need to do without fear of reprisal.
All right, coming right back. More Chief Ryan right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and our guest, Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine. Grab a couple of these texts here. This one here from Doesn't Have Meta. He said, for your information, going third person is that old Viger High School coming out of the chief. He didn't come to mess around. He's speaking the truth today. So,
well, listen, Wolfpack Nation, if you're out there, I really have to work on not letting my Pritchard come out. And, this ain't the time for it. Maybe another time. But I really have to pull and throttle the reins back to keep that in check.
And I'm selecting through. There's a lot of these that are the same. But I'll just put, like Jason said, hats off to Chief Prine for the way he's speaking out. The silence from the city speaks volumes. And I haven't heard anything from the city.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, they're in damage control mode, and I'm sure they've got to come forward. I'm just simply here to say why we got here, and there's absolutely no reason we still can't reconcile and that we part ways the right way. As far as anything that could be improper with finances, some of that has been given over to the mayor, and I'm sure they're looking into it. But all of this was catapulted forward because of this false narrative coming out of this Kenyon Brown report, at least that I've been told it's going to be used to disparage me.
And do you think, and in your opinion, do you think this was, because I thought it was, you know, like most people, it was about these officer-involved shootings, and do you think this was decided on as a method to get you out?
I do. In fact,
this whole thing that we were told that it was about these officer-involved shootings and the procedures, because I kept asking, the policies they were talking about city council are the same as MPD has. Anyways, how do you really know
what somebody's idea was? I do believe that it was
an investigation into, and then the council seconding the same things. They were like, yes, that was already the policy of MPD.
Right. So I do think it was a bona fide objective investigation for however objective it can be, because, right, if I contract with you, you're pretty much going to give me the service that I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. But when your staff members come back and they're saying questions are being asked, you know, specifically about something you said over 2 years ago, all that's going to do is try to paint a narrative that our practice is not lined mm-hmm. up with our policy. And maybe somehow or another, there's a undercurrent of what the practice really is that doesn't line up with the policy, and that's just simply not the case. And I think that every police officer on that department, if they knew that, they would be appalled that would be the angle. Understand that all we're trying to do, we as an administration, in my opinion, is trying to quell a few people that have been riled up in the community. Maybe some of it was right. Maybe emotions led the day. Maybe people have a right to feel the way they do. I'm not arguing that. But to pay the sums of money we're paying to get a report in that we have control over, then it's not really a third party objective report. If you acknowledge that you can mitigate the report in any way, then my argument would be is that it's to control a narrative in the community and not really give a full, real, objective investigation as to what transpired or didn't transpire.
Michael's asking on the text line here, is there any correlation between Jeremy Lamy randomly resigning as fire chief at such a young age as fire chief and being replaced, or is he being forced out?
You know, I'm not really sure. I can't answer that.
There's been some high-level, I mean.
Well, over the last 2 years, there have been some executive directors and maybe some department heads and leaders within the administration to part ways. I can't speculate to why people parted ways or not. I really can't. I can tell you Chief Lamy is a very brilliant, smart guy, and he was young enough to go. He got a retirement. He was young enough to go and get another retirement. I'm assuming that's what he did.
But by the way, speaking of that, because this is my audience, they're already asking where are you going next. It's your birthday. I know you're going to enjoy the rest of it, but where are you going next?
Next today or next in life?
Next in life.
So who knows? I know this isn't good for me, politically, and certainly, as it relates to my transition in my next chapter of life. But I'll leave that up to God. I'm a man of faith, and, wherever the Lord leads me or wants me to be is probably the place that I'm best fitted.
Okay. By the way, a whole contingent of your people coming out. Joshua says, Dial Street and Whistler has your back, Alabama Village Chief.
So, hey, brother, when it gets bad, I'm heading to the village. I know where my backup's at.
There's so many questions here and things that I know that you are not addressing now, but the chances are that more of this comes out, or more, I mean,
well,
it depends,
listen,
on what happens.
I'm not making any veiled threats at all. I'm just simply saying I'm keeping this at a high level only because the administration threatened and backed me into a corner. What I will say is that it is totally contingent on what the administration says. Now, they can fabricate and spin the truth, whatever it is that they call themselves doing. I'm a man, and people will tell you I don't lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to start lying now.
And we'll keep going here. I don't know what happened on your mic. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, there we go. We just had it.
Sorry.
No, by the way, I didn't want to scare you because you're a man that has been, you know, lost a kidney here in your service. But we can get electricity straight through these headphones into us. So just letting you know.
Well, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I'm just letting you know. And there's a chance that we could. Yeah. That's the only risk I take in my stupid job is I could get electricity through the headphones. Nobody's shooting at me.
Can I tell you while I'm what I am really sorely disappointed in is that I have given 27 years to this the city. I was shot in the line of duty. I took 3 bullets to the back. I did lose a left kidney. And I'm not saying that to be a victim. I'm certainly not a victim.
I've known that, and you've never said that before for people. I mean, that is something that is true.
Yeah. But to fast forward and make it, you know, to the position of the chief, the men and women of that department know what they have with me as a chief. And that's not always popular because as the chief, you know, I have to stand firm on things. And sometimes people like it. Sometimes they don't like it. But at the end of the day, they'll tell you that I've always been a man that's been up front and have integrity and character and mean what I say and say what I mean. I tell you that to simply say that this is not a way that you give 27 years and almost give your life. This is not a way to retire. And I'll just be frank with you. The administration stole that from me.
Well, your morale, but also as the chief, what that means to those who served under you, you know, or you served alongside with all those years. That's what, you know, it's bigger than just you.
Well, it is bigger than just me because there's other men on the department that have been shot that have survived. There's other men on the department that unfortunately lost their lives and their families out there dealing with that loss today. The kids have grown up without that dad. This is just not a way to do things. And I understand politics can be dirty, but, you know, it really lends itself to this. If men and women in leadership positions, especially public roles, will do what they say and be men and women of integrity and character, all this stuff resolves itself. The problem is it gets back to this lust for power, this lust for control, and either you're on the team or you're not on the team. And I'm always on the team, and everybody knows how I felt. I'll do anything I'm asked to do so long as it's not ethical or criminal.
All right, Chief Paul Prine, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy your birthday.
Thank you.